One of the things we read about the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament scriptures is that he is described as being full of grace and truth. The Bible places a great deal of emphasis on character. And in this Old Testament passage, we're beginning to see the character of the brothers of Joseph change through the grace of God, as God deals with them. It's interesting that as we look this morning in 1 Corinthians 10 at the issue of the various tests that we encounter in our Christian walk, we're seeing here some very real tests that these brothers are being put through. And we're seeing the way in which God, through Joseph, is dealing with these men. And we're going to see, if we haven't already, that they're being faced again with the same kinds of circumstances that they knew 20 years and more previously when they dealt so terribly with Joseph. And God is testing them by placing them back into similar situations again. Joseph is God's instrument in doing that. We saw last week that as the food was prepared for them in Joseph's house, Benjamin was given five times as much food as everybody else and treated as the favourite. Well, those sons previously, when it came to being tested as to how they would respond to favouritism in the family, they fell and failed horrendously. But there's been a complete difference in them this time, and Joseph will continue to test them, because one of the things that God is chiefly concerned with in his people is character. That you have the character of a Christian believer. That the character of Christ is growing and developing in each of us as we have contact with the Word of God, as the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts and in our minds, as our minds are transformed and changed by the Spirit of God. Our character changes. When we read in the New Testament those things that the Apostle Paul mentions again and again and again about that change that takes place in the life of a believer, that change of direction from the old things that once characterized our life to the new things that now should characterize our life, he's talking about a changed character. And that's one of the things that the Bible places great emphasis on, a changed character. If you're a Christian believer, are you a changed and changing character? Because if you're anything like me, the work isn't done yet. There's still room for improvement. There's still places to go. There's still maturity to move on to. There's still lessons to learn. And so we should be those who are changed and changing in character. And that's what Joseph is looking for in his brothers, a change of character. Will we see it? Well, God is bringing about a great change in their circumstances, and he's bringing about a change in these men. We've seen how the things from their past have caught up with them. They're having to face them. We'll often find that choices that we've made in the past, actions that we've done, we find that circumstances are arranged in such a way that we're confronted with them again. That's certainly what's happened to Joseph's brothers here. There was this underlying rivalry, wasn't there, in the family. Judah makes reference to it in that speech that he gives, and we'll come on to that shortly. He mentions, doesn't he, that just two of the boys, that's Joseph and Benjamin, were born to Rachel. If you've been following us through in this series, you'll know this very well by now. The wife that Jacob truly loved. These 12 boys have four mothers between them. But it's Rachel who Jacob really loved. He's already, as far as Jacob, now known as Israel, is concerned, Joseph's dead. He's gone. He's only got Benjamin left. And we've seen how previously they dealt with Joseph. How will they now treat Benjamin? because Benjamin really has taken Joseph's place now in the family. And God will put these sons through the same kind of circumstances that they've been with Joseph in the past. How will they fare this time round? Well, they've already had to suffer the great humiliation of bowing down before Joseph. They don't yet realize that it is Joseph, but they've had to bow down before him. For these strong-headed, strong-willed men, that has been quite a climb down, quite a humiliation for them to do that. But we have seen, haven't we, that things are beginning to change in these men. We've seen already there's been a recognition of their guilt. We've seen already that God has been coming back into the equation in their lives and in their thinking. God has once again started to figure in their lives, where previously, for long, long years, they seem to have given no real thought at all to God whatsoever and what he might require of them. And we're going to see that that work of grace is continuing in these men. Their character is changing. God is in the business of changing characters. God is able to change someone's character. One of the great needs that we all have is that our character might be changed. Why is there so much evil in the world around us? Why is there so much injustice? Why are there all the problems in our society? Well, it's because people have an ungodly character. That's how their life is defined, as ungodly. And the only thing that will sort people out is if their character will change. The Bible makes it very clear as we read it through in all kinds of different places. Only God can really change someone's character. Sometimes I talk to people, you probably will too, and they will have come into contact with the Bible and with the gospel message, and they at least can recognize, that a change of character is necessary. The problem is, many of them go away thinking that they can change their own character. And they go away, and that's what they try to do. And of course, they just become immensely frustrated. Maybe there's someone here in this room, and that describes you. You can see and you understand that there's something not right with your character before a holy God. And you can see the need of your character to change. But you're trying to do it yourself. Well, you can't. Only through the grace of God and through the power of God can your character be changed. And I want to say something a little bit more about that towards the end, because I want to focus on two key things this evening that come out of this passage, specifically relating to Judah, the son, the brother, who stands up and speaks on behalf of Benjamin. So at the beginning of chapter 44, we see Joseph kind of tightening in on these brothers. Here's one more test, and we have that account there as he fills their sacks again with food, gives them all their money back again, but this time he has this silver cup that he puts into Benjamin's sack. And it's probably a very particular, very special, very valuable, very expensive cup. Put my cup, the silver cup, he says to the servant, not just any old cup. It's not just go to the kitchen and get the first cup that comes to hand. The silver cup, and presumably that is sufficient a description for the servant to know exactly which cup Joseph is referring to. This cup has a very special place in Joseph's household. A very valuable item. And it's placed in Benjamin's sack, and then the servant is sent off after them straight away. And the servant makes this accusation against them. And we begin to see something of the change of character in these men in terms of how they respond straight away as the servant comes with these accusations. The accusation is made in verse 5. Well, he's told what to say in verse 5. Verse 6, the servant does what Joseph has said. He puts the accusation to the brothers. And then they say, "Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing." And they're defending. In the past, they've defended themselves when they were guilty. And they've said, "We would never do that." And they were as guilty as sin, I suppose. But now they are actually innocent. And they're defending themselves in their innocence. No reason why they shouldn't do that. "Look, we brought back the money," they say. "They say, we realized that something had gone wrong last time. We came back with the money. We're honest men. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house?" And see how in verse 9, they're taking collective responsibility. What a change in character in these brothers as they take collective responsibility. "Whomever of your servants it is found, whoever's got the cup, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves." Now, these are brothers who in the past, they were just so quick to pass the buck and let someone else take the blame and walk off scot-free. But not anymore. They're collective in their responsibility together before Joseph's servant. There's a great change in character coming across these men. And so back they go. They open their sacks and the servant begins to search. Verse 12. It's quite interesting, isn't it, reading that? You ever watched all these quiz programs and things on telly and they have all that music with the drum beat thumping away in the background as they try and build the tension before they reveal who the winner is or whatever that is on all these different types of programs. Well, it's almost a bit like that, really. You can imagine the dramatic music in the background as one by one the servant of Joseph goes through all their sacks. But look, he knows where it is. He knows it's in Joseph's sack. And he lines them all up in order. There they are again. Remember the dinner table? They were all lined up in the age of their order, the order of their age, the order in which they were born. And they're astonished. How on earth can they know what order we were born in? This is amazing. And he does it again. He lines them all up from the oldest to the youngest. And he starts with the oldest. And he knows it's down there. But he starts at the oldest and he goes right along the line and he's building the tension and building the tension and building the tension all the way through. Their character is being tested and tested. And then he comes to Benjamin's sack. Now, maybe the brothers are thinking, well, he's obviously made a mistake. There's no way Benjamin would do it of all of us. If it's going to be any of us, it's going to be one of us rogues. Wouldn't be Benjamin, but then it is Benjamin, and he's revealed. Well, you can just see that their hearts are sinking. Now here's the change in character in these men. In the past, they'd have been jumping with joy. They'd have been sniggering to one another. Benjamin, he's in for it. We're all stock free again. We've got away with it again. But there's none of that this time. These men are desperate. There's a great change in character coming over these men. And then we see Judah stand. They've acted as one man together. But now Judah stands. And it's been this speech of Judah's. Well, for one thing, it's the longest speech that's recorded in the book of Genesis. And many, many commentators who have looked at this thing that Judah says here have judged it to be one of the finest and most amazing speeches that you will find anywhere in the Word of God. As Judah stands up for Benjamin. When you think about how Judah's behaved in the past, remember what it was like back in chapter 37 when they were dealing with Joseph. In verse 27, this is Judah speaking. What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. What a cynical man. Let's not be blamed personally for his death, but let's just sell him to others. Let's make some money for ourselves. And whatever happens to him in the future, well, that's not our fault anymore. That will be other men's hands that deal that out on Joseph. What a cynical man Judah has been. But not now. Not now. Great change has come across this man. And there are two very specific things that come out in what Judah has to say. And this is what I want to home in on this evening. Here in this speech, we have the theme of intercession and substitution. Judah intercedes for Benjamin. Benjamin's in deep trouble, and he's in need of rescue. And Judah stands in and intercedes with Joseph on behalf of his brother. Benjamin is going to die. Judah is prepared to take his place. He's prepared to stand as his substitute for Benjamin. And as early on as Genesis 44, we have these themes, these important gospel themes of intercession and substitution revealed in the Word of God. What a wonderful book the Bible is. And Judah rehearses this long speech. He kind of gives us an abridged version of all that's taken place. He explains the great heartache that his father will suffer if Benjamin cannot be taken home again. It's going to be the straw that breaks his back. It will kill him. It really will kill him if we go home and Benjamin's not with us. And Judah stands and he intercedes on behalf of young Benjamin. And he pleads with Joseph on his brother's behalf. And then he says, look, take me instead of him. That's the first time in the Bible that someone has offered to stand in on behalf of another in this way. The first time you'll read about it, where one will substitute himself on behalf of another, even if it means death. And we have these two great themes introduced for us: intercession and substitution. And it's a really helpful illustration, this story, because we can all understand what it is that Judah's doing. We can all see how desperate Benjamin's position is. And we can all marvel at the change that's come about in Judah, that he would stand and present himself on behalf of his younger brother. We can all understand the desperate fate that awaits Benjamin. Once found guilty, the death penalty is sure to fall. And we can understand what it means for Judah to be prepared to take his brother's place. Let him go free. Put the penalty on me. Put the punishment on me so that Benjamin can walk free. And what a fantastic illustration in the Old Testament of God's Word of what Christ has done for us. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for us. Let's just consider that for a moment. You might want to turn in your Bibles to the New Testament and just have a look at a couple of verses with me. First of all, in Romans and chapter 8, in the Church Bible, page 1005. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Here is one in the Lord Jesus Christ who before a holy God pleads our cause. Isn't that wonderful? Picture what it is that Judah is doing for Benjamin. And that is the work of Christ before our Heavenly Father, pleading our cause before him. And Hebrews and chapter 7. Page 1066, verse 25. Therefore, he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Those who come to God through him. And then in 1 Timothy, just back a few pages in your Bible. 1 Timothy and chapter 2, page 1053. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Here in the Lord Jesus Christ is a man who intercedes for us. He pleads our case. He pleads our cause with our Heavenly Father. Now, that's wonderful, but we need more than someone to plead our cause. We need someone to take our place. And the Lord Jesus Christ has done that as well. Not only is he interceding, but he's substituting. Picture Judah again with Benjamin. Now, Judah can plead all he likes, but Joseph might turn round and say, well, this is all well and good, Judah, but someone's got to pay. And we know that in the case of our sin, God's position, because of his justice, is, well, someone's got to pay. Christ steps in, just as Judah is prepared to do for Benjamin. Not only does he make the plea, he says, look, let me take his place. And that's what Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's a well-known and a great verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin has become sin for us. That's not to say that the Lord Jesus became sinful, because that's impossible, because he's the sinless Son of God. But he took upon himself our sins in order that he might bear the punishment for them. He stood in as our substitute. He took our place, just as Judah stepped in for Benjamin. And he's taken our place. We sang these words before. This, the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, and we stand forgiven at the cross. I want to close by asking you a question. Do you know that forgiveness? Have you recognized that this Lord Jesus pleads your cause and your case before God, but not only that, he has actually stood in your place. He's been your substitute, and he has taken upon himself that penalty which has to be paid, because justice demands it, and we may go free. I don't know whether you fully realize, perhaps, just how much of these glorious truths we read of in the Old Testament. The more I read the Old Testament, the more I'm taken back to that occasion when the Lord himself took those disciples through the scriptures and showed them himself in the Bible. And I begin to wonder, that must have been a very long, slow walk, because there is so much there. Would you be forgiven? You need to come to Christ. And there you can be set free at the cross from all your guilt. You can be pardoned made right with God, reconciled to him again. Because there is one who's come in, stood in your place, interceded for you, substituted himself where yours was the blame and where yours was the penalty. And he's taken it all upon himself for us, that we might be forgiven. And I would urge you, if you will be made right with God this evening, you can only do it by coming to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that together, those of us who are Christian believers, that we will just have our hearts just amazed as we read the Bible and see how all these truths are right throughout the Word of God. And that we would have our hearts warmed again towards our Saviour, who even now intercedes for us, pleads our case with our Heavenly Father. At the beginning of a new week, Christ is there interceding for us, standing in our place. What a Saviour, what a gospel, and what a comfort and a hope it should be to each one of us.